Matthew chapter number 2. We're continuing to talk about pursuing the King. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." And we spent some time talking about the reason that these wise men came, who they were, and what their position and responsibilities were, and the trouble that that would cause in the land. Remember, this was a buffer state between two warring empires, and so there was a lot of turmoil, especially when you have somebody from one empire coming in and saying, "Hey, where is he that is born King of the Jews?" And of course, the dig that was into Herod, who had simply been given the title the King of the Jews, they say, "We know there's someone that has been born King of the Jews." And of course, that was promised in Luke chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 30. "The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." So you have these wise men that are come looking for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We know that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we see him all grown up in Revelation chapter number 19 as he returns on that white horse, and it's written there on his vesture and on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who they were searching for. That's who they were pursuing after, and it ought to be the cry of every Christian's heart to pursue after the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so one of the things that we're going to do over the next few weeks is kind of break up our pursuit of Him. I think of Luke chapter 10 and verse number 27. Where Jesus answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy might." And we're going to take those four things that Jesus talked about, not in the same order that he gives them. Here this morning, we're going to be talking about pursuing the King with all of our mind. Next Sunday morning, we'll be talking about pursuing him with all of our strength. And then I want to encourage you to be inviting people out to our candlelight service on Christmas Eve as we talk about pursuing him with our soul. And of course, giving the gospel so that people can come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So do take that little invitation that's given, and the Lord might use it in a great way to change somebody's heart and life this holiday season. Okay, but he says, you are to love the Lord your God. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And, you know, when we stop and we think about what that means, because there are probably very few things in life that we actually give 100% of ourselves to. Especially as Americans, for the most part, we are a pretty lazy culture and we get by with the least amount possible in a lot of different areas of our life. Okay, so what does it mean to really pursue after him with everything that is within us? And last week we talked about how that, you know, he is to be the most important person in our lives. With all of our heart, we're to seek after him. And that wonderful promise that if we seek after him with all of our heart, then we'll find him. And if somebody's here today and they're looking for the Savior, they're seeking after a relationship with Jesus, it can be found. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. So if you're searching for him, he's out here, he's looking for you, and he wants that relationship with you. This morning, we're going to talk a little bit about our minds. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you are a God who seeks and saves the lost, that you are concerned with all the details of our lives, that you desire a relationship with each and every one of us. And Lord, if there's somebody here this morning and they don't have that relationship with you, Lord, maybe they've sought it out in some other way, maybe by being a good person or by joining a church or being baptized, giving money or other things, Lord. I pray that they would understand that you have told us there's only one way we have a relationship with God, that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I pray they put their faith and trust in Jesus today. And for all the Christians who are gathered together here this morning and for those who are watching online, I pray that you would challenge our hearts. And challenge our love for you. Lord, are we really pursuing you with all our heart as we talked about last week? Show us where we need a change in that area. Lord, are we pursuing you with all of our mind? What a challenge this is for most Christians to really pursue and give you all of our mind. Lord, I pray that you'd show us areas that we need to work on here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, when we love something, we try to find out all about it, don't we? If we love a certain sports team, okay, we know all the coaches, we know the players, we get all the updates and the information about the recruits coming in and everything else. Why? Because we care about that. Okay, for whatever reason, we have a vested interest in it, and so we learn about it. You know, we all have certain foods that we really love and enjoy, don't we? Some of us a little too much. We love pizza, right? I love pizza. It's probably one of my kryptonites. I got a lot of kryptonites, but I love pizza. So I know where all the best pizza is in town. I know where the places to go that I don't want to eat their pizza unless it's maybe the last pizza in the world. Pizza's still pizza, even if it's not good pizza. But there's certain places that, I like the toppings here. They're fresh. I like the sauce here. We gain information about the things that we like. Okay, we love people. We want to gain information, don't we? What are some things you want to know about somebody? If you're going to get to know them, what's some information that you think is important to have? Who can tell us? Yeah, Cameron, what should we know about people? All right, if they're truthful or if they're honest, good. What else would you want to know about somebody? Yes. Okay, you want to know all about their family, especially if it's like a dating relationship. You marry family, so some of us didn't do so well in that area, but you do marry the family, so you want to know all about the family. Yes.
Where are they from?
All right, good. Where they're from. So what's your background? Where are you from? What else do you want to know about somebody? Yes. Okay, you want to know the things that they're interested in, what they like, what they don't? Yes.
If they're saved.
All right, if they know Jesus Christ as their Savior or not, that's an important question to know. Yes.
What they do.
All right, what do you do? Okay, so what do you do for a living? And somebody else, what else do you want to know? Information you want to know?
Hobbies.
Yes. Hobbies, all right. What are the things you like to do? So there's a lot of information that we can gather about who they are, right? And, I think about my relationship with my own wife. I know my wife. I think I know my wife better than my wife knows my wife. She kind of goes back and forth on what she likes and doesn't like. And I know you like this. But I fell in love with her and I wanted to know everything about her. I want to know about your family. And as much as I give her family a hard time, I love her family. I could not have asked for better in-laws than what I have. That's all the nice you're going to get out of me today. So enjoy it.
Come on!
I want to know all about it. I want to know what are your interests? What do you care about? You know, what are the things that are important to you? What kind of foods do you like? The snacks, the songs, the movies, everything. I want to know everything about who you are. See, when we really love someone, we want to get to know them. Okay, we're seeking to gain that knowledge about somebody. Why? Because I want to have a relationship with this person. And a lot of times, especially men, we make these different jokes about not being able to know women. Okay. That's a cop-out. The Bible says, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. So it is my life's work to know this woman up here, to know everything about her. If there's something I don't know, it's because I've not been a good enough investigator. Okay, I haven't asked the right questions. I haven't spent the time that I need to, because I am to know her. Why? Because that's my wife. We're in a relationship with one another. And here, as Jesus is giving a response, okay, he's answering a different question, but he says, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Okay, so love him with, there would be the love of your life. And he says you're to love him with all your mind. So the question is, how much do you really know about who God is? What do you know about him? Because if you really love God, you are going to make it your life's work to know about God. To know who he is. Okay, if you love Jesus, you're going to make it your life's work to know all about Jesus. Okay, where is he from? Who exactly is he? What did he come to do? What is he like? What is he not like? What did he do? How did he live his life? You see, if we really love Jesus, we're going to invest time and energy to get to know everything about who he is. You know, well, a lot of times we say we love this thing, or we love this person, or we love God, or we love our Savior Jesus Christ, when our actions tell a very different story. Because if you say you love Jesus, then you ought to know who Jesus is. Then you ought to be able to answer basic questions about who Jesus is. If you ask me questions about Lysandra, I should be able to answer those questions with some reasonable, intelligent answers. If you ask me, you know, what's her favorite color? What's her favorite ice cream? Where does she like for coffee? Or what, you know, just the things of life. What's her favorite movie? I ought to be able to answer those questions if I say I really love this woman. I think about so many people who say they love Jesus. They say they're one of his followers and disciples. Okay, being saved and being a disciple of Jesus are two different things. Being saved and being a Christian are two different things. You can be saved and not be a real follower of Jesus or be one of his disciples or be able to call yourself a Christian. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So just because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior doesn't mean you have the right to call yourself a Christian. Okay, so a lot of people say they love Jesus, and yet if you ask them some basic questions about him, they don't really know. Like you ask people, well, when was Jesus born? Well, he was born December 25th, of course. No, he wasn't. We don't know the exact date that he was born, but there's a lot of information that we can use to find out the time of year that he was born. Okay, so what did Jesus like? What was the purpose that he came? I mean, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Okay, we ought to have the information. And the reason we gain information about Jesus is not just so we have the information. Because just as we looked at in our stewardship series last month, there you had the one servant. Remember, he took and he buried the talent. And then when his Lord and Master came back, he said, hey, here's the talent that you gave me. And remember his response, he says, I knew you were a strict man. I knew that you gathered where you haven't sown, you reaped where you haven't harvested, all those sorts of things, and plowed. And remember what the Lord said to him. He said, you're a wicked servant. Because you knew, you had the information, but you didn't do anything with it. See, so I don't want to just gain information for information's sake. The Scripture never encourages us to do that. We're to gain information so that we can do something with it. And we find different people throughout the scripture who really had a desire to get to know Jesus. That they really within them tried to love Jesus with all of their mind. The Apostle Paul was one of those individuals. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse number 2, he says this, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." He said in Philippians 3:10, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." Paul wanted to know and experience everything about Jesus. Okay, he didn't want to just gain some information, but he wanted to deeply know and identify with who Jesus was. And you can just sense the passion as you read Paul's writings and his letters to these Christians and to these churches, his desire to really know who Jesus was. Because for a long time, he had this idea of who he thought Jesus was. See, he thought Jesus was a false prophet. He thought Jesus was someone that was coming in and teaching heresy and fighting against his religion. And so what did Paul do? Paul tried to stamp out Christianity. He tried to erase the name Jesus Christ from off the planet. He's not the first one, and he won't be the last one to try to do that. But then there was a day where he met Jesus, and he realized everything that he ever knew was wrong. And so he made it his life's work to get to know who Jesus was. I want to know all about Him. The good, the bad, and the ugly, as we like to say. Okay, I want to know about the sufferings, he said. I want to know about His death. I want to know all the details. The same is true of any person that we really love. Okay, I want to know everything about my wife. I don't want her just to put on some sort of show, good show about who she is. I don't want her just to put her best foot forward and that be the only thing that I know about her. Surprise, surprise, my wife has some faults. She has some failures. They're very small and very few and far between. But she does. Why? Because she's human. I want to know everything about her. I want to know the dark things. I want to know the good things. I want to know everything. And that's what Paul said about Jesus. I want to know everything. You know, I just don't want to know about the being exalted and all the great things. I want to understand what the suffering means too. And I want to know what this death has to do with and entails in my life. And what does that mean and how I should live my life? I want to get to know everything. The psalmist wanted to know God as well. In Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5, the psalmist writes this, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." And you notice what the psalmist says there in chapter 25. He says, hey, show me your way, O Lord. He says, teach me your path. Lead me in truth. Teach me. I want to gain information. I want to learn. I want to know. In Psalm 86, verse number 11, he says, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. And then nine times in Psalm 119, the psalmist says, teach me. Teach me. I want to know. I want to learn everything about you. Just like we do in school. We have certain subjects, certain topics. I enjoyed college a lot more than I enjoyed high school and middle school and all those things. I hated middle school and high school. I'm just not a fan of school. Most boys aren't. A lot of boys aren't, I should say that. I would have rather been outside doing some things. And often when I was supposed to be doing school, I was outside doing things. But college was a little bit different because, for the most part, you're picking classes of things that you are interested in, things that you want to learn about, certain Bible courses and theology and things on what it really means to be a pastor. And they leave out a lot, trust me, because there would be no pastors if they didn't. They hide some of the dark secrets about what it's really all about. But see, I was interested, so I wanted to know. I wanted to learn about those things. So I'd sit in class and I'd take notes and I'd listen. I would go over to Open Door Baptist Church in Foley, and I interned for a while, and the church would give us money for lunch while we were there, because we'd go and we'd spend all day Sunday there. So they would give us money for lunch. I would save that money for lunch, and I'd go back to the bookstore and buy books with it so I could read and gain information and learn, because I wanted to know. And that's the way it ought to be with somebody that we really love. Okay, I look at my relationship with my life as a course that's not going to end until death do us part. So I want to continue to study. I want to continue to learn. There are things that my wife likes now that she never used to like. She hated seafood. Now she loves it. If you would have asked me, 15 years ago, does your wife like shrimp? No, she doesn't. And I know it. She does now. She's becoming more and more like me. That's scary in a lot of ways. Luckily, I'm becoming a little bit more like her. So we're helping each other out while hurting each other at the same time. But see, it's my life's work to know her. Okay? Even though Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we have a lot to learn about him. We ought to make it our life's course to learn all about who he is. You see, I shouldn't do it just because I'm a pastor. I ought to want to get to know Jesus because I've been born again. I'm one of his children. That he's my Savior, that he's done so much for me. I love him with all my heart, and I want to love him with all of my might. So we need to put some effort in and get to knowing who he is. Remember what Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3:18, where he commands us to grow in grace. And then I've underlined this next phrase, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. But he tells us we're to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So every day I ought to make it a priority to get to know him a little bit better. I ought to know Jesus better at the end of this day than I did yesterday. I ought to know Jesus better at the end of 2018, and it's only a couple weeks now. But I ought to know him better at the end of 2018 than I did when it started. Why? Because I love him and I want to know about him. I want to grow in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's a couple of ways that we get to know somebody. We get to know them by spending time with them. It's one thing to date somebody, talk on the phone, write letters and whatever else. Okay, you do get to know a little bit of information about each other. Okay, but you get to know somebody. When you walk down that aisle, you get married and you start to live together 24/7. You learn things you never knew. Some of those dark things that were hidden secret till the knot was tied, right? I didn't know. Why? Because we hadn't spent that much time together. The more time you spend with somebody, the more you get to know them. I try to spend every second that I can with my wife. I love spending time with her. The more time I spend with her, the more I get to know her. And we ought to love spending time with God. And we ought to love spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we really get to know who he is. That's where that relationship is built. Just spending time with him. I love that promise that he gave to his disciples when he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." See, their command was not to go be fishers of men. That command would come later. But his command right at the beginning was, hey, just follow me. Just spend time with me. You spend time with me, you'll get to know me, you'll become like me. And it's wonderful to see these couples that have been married for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And they do start to become like one another. Unique in different ways, but in a lot of ways, more alike than when they first got married. And it's a wonderful thing to see. And the more time we spend with Jesus, the more we're going to understand who he is. The more we're going to understand the things that he loves. I mean, he loves people. We ought to love people. He loves changing people's lives. We ought to love to see people's lives changed. He loves giving people another opportunity. He loves giving second chances, and we ought to be a people who love to give people opportunities, love to give people second, third, and fourth chances. He gives us a lot of chances. You see, when I really spend time with Jesus, I start to learn more about him. We ought to make it a priority every day to spend time with Jesus. Spend every second that we can with him. Because that's when we really get to know who he is. Not only spent time with him, time spent learning about him. Learning about him. And I think about the time that I have spent learning about my wife. We spent a lot of time apart, so we'd talk on the phone constantly. Just talking, asking questions. Looking for answers. I want to know, what do you think about this? What do you like about this? What don't you like? You know, all the different questions. We hit on many of those things early on in this message. Okay, but there was a time where I spent not just with her, but learning about her. And the same ought to be true with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there ought to be a time every day where we're spending learning about him. Okay, we learn about God in his word. We learn about Jesus by studying his life and his words. And of course, Jesus himself said that the volume of the Bible is written about him. So we ought to learn it. We ought to read it. We ought to memorize it. We ought to study it. Okay, having a little devotional thought is fantastic. You ought to do that. That should not be all of your time in the Bible. Okay, you ought to have time where you're literally studying the Bible for yourself. Where you're learning about Jesus for yourself. Memorizing the scriptures for yourself. Okay, if I really love him with all of my mind, I do want to spend time with him, but I want to spend time learning about him. Okay, if you're not interested in learning about Jesus, then you can't really say that you love him. At least not like you're supposed to. I can't pretend to love Jesus and say that I love Jesus with honesty if I don't have a desire to learn more about him. And it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You have more to learn. Okay, I've been married to my wife for over 15 years now. I can't believe it's been that quickly. There's still things I want to find out about her. Still things I want to learn. Okay, some of us have been a child of God for a long time, for decades. And one of the problems with that, and it's one of the problems with marriage as well, is when you've been in a relationship with somebody for a long time, you can, if you're not careful, you can tend to just kind of coast. You don't really work at it anymore. You don't really try anymore. That's why Jesus told his believers in the book of Revelation, in one of the seven letters of the seven churches, he said, you need to go back and do the first works again. You need to love like you did at the beginning. And one of the big problems we see in marriages is people stop loving like they did at the beginning. They quit trying to learn about their spouse. They quit trying to know who they are. That's a shame. And the same is true often of Christians who have been saved a long time. You know, I know that story, and I know this instant, and I know that verse, and I know this doctrine, and we just kind of have this idea. Maybe we won't say it, but I already know. Guess what? You don't know everything. And I don't know everything. We're going to spend an eternity with Jesus and probably not know everything about who He is. There's always something we can learn about Him. There's always room to grow in our walk and our relationship with Him. And we ought to make it a priority to really learn about Him. Now think about these wise men, because they had information about Jesus. Okay, they knew about what time that He would be born, so they looked for the sign of His coming. They knew He was going to be the King of the Jews, so what did they do? They went to Jerusalem, where the King you would think would be. Now, they would get there and ask some questions, and then later on, the star would show up to lead them from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. But to get to Jerusalem, all they had was their own information. All they had was what they knew. Okay, so that's when they went and they looked for Him. Okay, but they wanted to know Him personally. They didn't just want information about Jesus. They wanted to know Him personally, and so they pursued after Him, and they asked questions, and they sought after Him, and they looked for Him, and they pursued Him until they found Him. So they could worship Him. So they could spend time with Him. So they could know Him personally. Are you pursuing the King with all your might? Are you taking the necessary time with Him to get to know Him? Are you spending time regularly learning about Him, studying the Scripture, seeing who He is, what He likes, what He doesn't like, what He wants from us? Okay, if you really love Jesus, you ought to be able to answer some basic questions about who He is. I mean, if you're afraid of people asking you questions about Jesus, you don't know Him like you should. Because if you really love Him, then you're going to know all about Him. So let's love Him and pursue Him with all of our minds.